Welcome, everybody, to the Lockdown Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we are sitting here twiddling our thumbs. It is 10 o'clock on a Monday night, and we are all frustrated at the fact that the Lakers, that there is no real update on Kawhi Leonard, but this was always going to be the case.
Yeah, man, you sound about as I feel right now. I'm ready to tap out. No, you know what, man, he's taken his time. This is more typical of how free agencies have gone in the past. That day one was so warp speed where everybody came off the board. And of course, there's the nervousness of like, oh, crap, if we don't get Kawhi,
right?
You know, what are we looking at on the market, of course. But I mean, this is a nine-figure decision for him and where he's going to be spending probably the next few years of his life, and professionally and personally. Like, I don't begrudge the man for wanting to take the meetings. It was originally reported he was going to meet with the Lakers and the Clippers on Monday. He's met with both teams. He's supposed to meet with the Raptors on Tuesday. We're all on track for all of that. You know, there's still maintained that amount of noise about a lot of different people and former players and things like that saying that he's coming to the Lakers. But, you know, I expect that he's going to go through the process first and then make his decision, even though we want it now, you know, as opposed to having to wait for a couple of days.
Did you just report he's going to Philly?
You know, if we could use some Woj's help here. He should report just like last year with LeBron some off destination that he was not going to in the first place, and maybe he'll finally announce. Sorry. It's going to take me a while to get this Woj bitterness out, man. I'm like, the thing is, like, it's not even about where he signs now.
Yeah.
It's just like the whole thing all the way, just like that the Lakers weren't even in it. That's what pissed me off, because it was never true. And everybody wants to believe it, because everyone but us wants to hear bad news about the Lakers. Anyway, you know, I could rant about this for days, so carry on.
No, I mean, our stance, I think, was always the objectively right stance to take, was with somebody like Kawhi Leonard, whom we don't know anything about. We don't know what he prioritized. Everything is possible, and therefore nothing is impossible. So, of course, the Lakers always had a chance. That's where you and I have talked about this on a few occasions at this point, but Woj's reporting, bulletproof. Woj's analysis, toilet paper. Right. So I think that's where we find
ourselves. He's selling on his podcast. I don't listen to it, so this is secondhand, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But just like how Kawhi's brand is like the Dynasty Slayer, the Super Team Slayer, or something like that. I'm like, this is like fan fiction, dude. Like, are you talking about what's important to you, or are you talking about what's important to Kawhi Leonard? So
Kawhi of House Leonard, first of his name.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's this like teenage fantasy. Like, he's this superhero who's gonna come and like. No, dude wants to like win titles and make money, you know, like, I mean, and even that, me saying, I'm guessing, I will go out there and say, I'm guessing, but just like this is his brand and the incentive, but he is too. And he has been all along. And it's just been bullcrap how he can set the narrative for so much of the NBA conversation.
Well, that's what we're here for. So I do want to say, though, so regarding where the Lakers currently stand, nothing. The only thing that has, I guess, literally changed is the Troy Daniels signing. But even that's a veteran minimum signing, so it doesn't affect the cap sheet. The Lakers are still very much involved in the Kawhi Leonard thing. Danny Green hasn't signed anywhere, which to me is pretty indicative of where things stand. I think he's waiting to see what Kawhi winds up doing before he makes a signing. So if you guys are looking for dominoes, look for, you know, the Clippers moving on and maybe making a signing of their own that cuts into their cap space. Look for Danny Green to act on his own initiative, or, you know, actually get news of Kawhi Leonard. If you're looking for things like first dominoes that you're going to see fall, that you're going to see tip over, those are the things that are going to lead directly to Kawhi Leonard signing, in my opinion. What do you think of that reason?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, man. I think it's going to be, there will be four shocks, right, where it's before the earthquake, a couple of small tremors that are like, hey, you know, if we see any of the three teams involved, especially the Clippers or Lakers, make a move, like, say, you know, the Clippers sign Danny Green to a $8 or $10 million a year type of deal, that's, you know, a harbinger for what we're looking toward. Yeah. And so those things, and there's also the, it's protocol, and this is a more old school conventional free agency courtship so far, if that maintains, there's the courtesy of telling your old team first, whether you're staying or going, mm-hmm. you're going to tell Toronto first, mm-hmm. and then...
And they're the last meeting.
Right. And so if he is signing with the Lakers, if he tells the Raptors, hey, thank you for everything, but I'm not coming back, then it's fairly likely that that will leak from that end
yeah.
of things, right? That he's not going to Toronto, or he's not going to the Clippers, or he's not going to Lakers, right? But that's probably where the first reports will come from, is that guy, one team at the very least will be ruled out. There were a couple of reports that the Clippers were that. But today there have been a couple of Clippers people saying that he's actually having dinner with Ballmer, Jerry West, and Doc Rivers tonight. Mm-hmm. So that is right on schedule with everything that was supposed to happen.
Yep.
But we'll probably hear one of those teams dropping out, I would guess, as soon as tomorrow.
It's going to be fascinating. I want to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Lakers' options if they don't land Kawhi Leonard. Not to say that you or I feel any differently or whatever than we felt yesterday. I still feel pretty strongly that this is, to me, in my opinion, the likeliest outcome. But just in case that doesn't happen, that seemed to be a big talking point in my mentions, especially. I don't know if you got the same kind of thing, where people were like, hey, so what happens if everybody is off the table and the Lakers strike out on Kawhi Leonard? So we're going to try to figure that out. The Lakers also kind of sort of played a game, which felt weird.
Is that what you called that?
We were watching that, and Jen was like, hey, none of these guys are going to be on the team, right?
Yeah.
So he's still got plenty of stuff to talk about and have a little bit of fun with. We're going to continue to do that on the other side of this break. Do you ever just like wait? Like today, I just woke up and I was super hoarse. I don't know why that's a thing. We're just old.
You usually wears off for me in the morning. I like doing my voiceovers in the morning because I sound more manly.
Like, what's up, Laker fans? You
know, get nice and deep and rich. By the evening, I'm just all up in this register. I'm no good.
I can't lie. That was a bit of a bucket list moment, hearing you say, what's up, Laker fans, on my show.
You actually got to see it come out of my mouth.
Yeah, that was great. That was awesome. All right. So let's talk about what the Lakers do if Kawhi Leonard doesn't come. If he goes to the Clippers, if he stays in Toronto, whatever that option might look like, if you just got to sit in Rob Pelinka's chair for a day, how would you approach the rest of the offseason here? Other if than say, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Sure, sure. So the first place I look is to Miami, who reportedly are still looking to move Dragic.
Good call.
Dragic would be a viable point guard. Lakers obviously need a guard. That's always been the case. Kawhi Leonard is the, you know, like, hey, you just get Kawhi and you worry about that later type of guy. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, if you can get a Dragic out of Miami, I think that would be a place to look.
You'd probably get him crazy cheap, too.
Probably so. Right. Exactly. Just as a, you know, as a salary dump. They're right on the right next to the luxury tax apron. Riley is not a tanker, though. So he, like, him giving up a good player, which Dragic still is, for nothing. Like, he doesn't make a lot of moves like that. So that might be tough. Mm-hmm. There are a couple other places around the league. You've got Golden State, who's going to be hard capped. See if you can get some of the guys out of there. But it's also, I think you see a lot of the like clutch guys not signed yet. Like if Marcus Morris wanted to sign a deal with someone right now,
yeah, it could have been
on a team, right? Mm-hmm. KCP is probably the same case too. You got DeMarcus Cousins out there. Obviously these are not ideal scenarios that don't compare at all to Kawhi, but those are the type of moves the Lakers are going to have to make if they lose out on Kawhi. We talked mm-hmm. about this yesterday. This is like a potential dynasty. So you do it, right? Like if Lakers feel good about it. I don't think they're being foolish. I think if nothing else, we see that the Lakers are very much in the thick of this, if not the favorite right now. But sometimes, you know, you get a bad beat, and this could be that. But those are the type of moves I think they need to look toward. What are you thinking on that front?
No, I agree with all of that, especially the Goran Dragic thing. You know, you always want to take advantage of a situation when it presents itself, right? In this case, even so, to the point you made about Pat Riley not usually making a move where he gives away a good player for nothing, if there's a situation where he might consider such a thing, it would be this one where he's landing Jimmy Butler, right? He would be moving Goran Dragic to be able to sign Jimmy Butler, which you know, that's where the Lakers can swoop in. And by the way, Dragic would fit really well. He would fit. He would answer. You know, it's not a perfect fit. I think. Yeah, I would prefer more of a Patrick Beverley type to a Goran Dragic type. But Beverley isn't on the market anymore. Seth Curry isn't on the market anymore. And if you're talking about a position of need, this is one of those spots where, you know, Plan B, it's a significant downgrade from Plan A, but you can still make that work. You can go into next season with Goran Dragic, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James and feel pretty good about your chances.
Yeah, no, very, very much so. Like, look, the Lakers are going to be a contender to some degree next year because on most nights they're going to have the best two players on the court. When you have that, like, the role players and, like, what you need from them are fairly simple, and you can get that from a multitude of guys. But obviously the difference between, you know, a dynastic, you know, dominant type of team,
it would be a kick in the balls. It would
for sure. Like, we can't dance anywhere around that, right? Yeah. And I still feel very good. There has been no movement today that has portended poorly for the Lakers. It's just a matter of waiting, and this is something that's tough for all of us. I'm feeling the effects of it. I know you are too. But the Lakers are going to be a very good team next year either way.
Yeah.
But obviously, just the difference is, I don't want to say night and day, but it's close.
Pretty, yeah. I'm wondering how you're taking the news cycle here, because this is a throwback kind of setting. This is not, you know, we are living in the era of tampering where these guys have their deals lined up for hour one of now June 30th. This has been a thing all day today where Richard Jefferson is tweeting out at Lakers eyeball emojis, right? Caron Butler sends out that really, really good Photoshop where it's Kawhi's sunglasses and you can see Anthony Davis and LeBron James in the other one. Everybody seems to be really having a lot of fun with this. We're sitting here at home though, saying like, okay, yeah, this is a lot of fun, but I want to get off the ride now.
Yeah, man. No, I hope, like I said on the last show, man, just put the knowledge in my head that Kawhi Leonard is a Laker before I go on that operating table and I'll be happy. That's just all I want. Because even if I die, I know the Lakers will win some titles and we will my ghost will be rooting for, like, we'll have that knowledge and, you know, I'll maybe chill out in Staples Center as a specter of sorts. Just before July 3rd, please. I'm just begging him, please, like, put us out of our misery.
You come back as like a purple ghost.
You know I would.
Purple ghost with, like, you know, somehow you'd have like an ever changing Lakers jersey that you'd be rocking. It would be, yeah. I would rather you not do that though. Please don't do that.
Yeah, no. I'll be fine.
Let's not get to that point.
I have watched so much tape on so much basketball. if I get 1 year of freaking Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. I am just like salivating at the prospect of watching that tape.
Yeah. See, you're going about this a lot smarter than I am. I just sit there and I watch TweetDeck just cycle through, and you're going through there and you're watching. Now, maybe it might not be smarter, right? Because you're getting yourself super excited about the possibility of getting to watch those three. So, you know, it depends on everybody's approach to these kinds of things. But I'm just sitting there on Twitter and you know, obviously DMs and conversations that you have behind the scenes. Maybe I should just start watching highlights. That would be
cool. How are you feeling right now? Just not even thinking. Just how are you feeling?
I still feel the same way I've felt all along. I think the Lakers have always, look, we just talked about it. I think the Lakers have always had a better chance at this than people have given them credit for. And by people, I mean Woj, right? So I think that's always been the case. And look, what I've said I don't know how many times, whether it's, you know, people responding to me on Twitter, here on this show, in my writing. It doesn't matter where what platform it was that I said this from, but I always have been maintaining, we don't know this guy. We don't know what he prioritizes. Therefore, anything is possible. He could, like I said, we joked about this yesterday, he could sign with Sacramento. Like, it wouldn't, this guy, and actually it makes it fascinating because, like, this is the first time we've ever felt like this, right? It was fun. It was funny when Harrison and I got to talk to Mark Stein. That's where I started the show. I said, I have, in my lifetime, I have never seen a free agent that we had this little idea about what he cares about, what his camp cares about, what he's thinking, what he might be saying, how he actually laughs. Like, we don't know. We don't know what he prioritizes. And it, you know, it makes it more maddening right now because I don't know how this is going to go. Remember, like, this time last year, we pretty much knew that LeBron was going to happen.
Well, we got it on the first day, right?
Yeah.
We got it, like, the evening of the first day of free agency.
But even then, like, the couple months before then, we knew. Like, you had your entertainment sources and I feel like that's
a little revisionist. There have been a few people that have told me the same thing.
Go for it.
But, like, by like July 1st or by late June, I feel like the Lakers had really good momentum in the, like, public. But before then, I remember a lot of people being like, he's looking toward Philly or maybe toward Houston. They started
the
falling
night before,
off.
Woj was out there saying Philly.
Woj was saying the day of that LeBron was going to meet with them and consider them. And they were a strong possibility, blah, 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 blah. And
remember Denver too.
And like Denver was a last minute thing. So it didn't get relaxing with LeBron until the last like week or so. Whereas with this, it's felt from a narrative standpoint that the Lakers have come from behind.
Yeah.
But it's like there's these two different parallel paths of like what's been said nationally and everything that we hear on the Lakers end. And I've just been wondering, just like, am I just surrounded by people who are crazy, right? And then as time has gone on, they've been right all along. The Lakers have been in this. It has been something they've been a threat on. And then it makes you question that other path of like, why the hell was this so off over on the
Lakers aren't talking to anybody. Like they aren't saying shit to anybody. They aren't saying anything to anybody. The only person who goes out there and leaks anything about the Lakers is Magic.
Right.
Like that's the only, they aren't saying anything to anybody. And I've liked it. We're going to take a quick second here. And when we come back, we're just going to continue this conversation thread, see where it takes us. And, you know, if we get around to it, we can get some quick reactions to whatever quote unquote basketball we watched earlier tonight. God, this is the toughest part about this year, and I'm not out here trying to claim that my job is hard in any way, shape, or form. It is not. It's a blessing. 1,000,000%, it's a blessing. But I'm always so nervous to end these podcasts. You know, I'm always so nervous to say, all right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Because I like as soon as we're done there, I just feel like I'm going to get some kind of tidbit on. Whatever's happening here with Kawhi, but
that's why we're doing this late, right?
Yeah, that's why we don't get to sleep. Fortunately, we're going out to Vegas, a city that literally does not sleep. I want to talk about this, an important, I think, aspect of this Kawhi situation is what can we learn moving forward. What can we take away from this moving forward? And one of the things that we talked about in yesterday's show was how, look, we gotta reconfigure what we, you know, value in organizations compared to what superstars value in organizations, right? That was one of the main takeaways that I've had there. But have you thought at all about further takeaways from this situation? Further reasons to believe that maybe why, if you're looking to be optimistic about the Lakers, what would you point to? The fact that they've been a disaster and still have this chance?
I mean, they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That's the first thing I look to in terms of being optimistic. It's early, and if the Lakers strike out on Kawhi Leonard, I will not be upset with the team. I think that they've handled this well. We talk about process all the time. The way that this has worked out, look, beforehand when we talk about in a preview, hey, and then we'd like Jimmy Butler's plan B and D'Angelo Russell's plan C. That's all fine and dandy. But what if your plan A doesn't make a decision right away? Yeah. And what if those plan B, C, D, and et cetera are all have other plans or get more money than you might have wanted to throw at them? There has not been anything with this so far where I'm like, they're handling this incorrectly. But so that, along with how things have been handled over the last month or so, and this is being probably generous, but I think they've done a decent job of executing what they need to do.
Yeah.
In retrospect, the whole, oh crap, they're not even going to have cap space thing was they handled that fine. And mm-hmm. that did not end up being a big deal at all. They're not leaking. Even prior to the Kawhi stuff, it's been a relatively quiet front office in a way that's just handled their business. I've been encouraged just about kind of how they've gone about their business over the last month and a half, really since the Ty Lue thing fell through. That was my last real frustration point, especially with the salary cap thing not being a big issue. So to me, all of that, and in terms of like what a free agent values, it's not all that different. That's just the important thing to me. I think too often people, like I said, with Woj earlier being like, oh, he's the super team slayer, like they are looking at it through their own eyes on like what they would want to see. They're projecting rather than being like, if what does this person care about? Do they have the same value system that I do? With Kawhi, we know so little about him that it's hard to do that. Mm-hmm. And that makes this even more confusing and harder to get a read on it. But for me, those are the signs of optimism. And it's the same as what I always knew regarding, you know, you got to put yourself in the free agent shoes through how they see the world. How about you?
I'm glad you made all those points because I completely agree. Like that, we know the Lakers went into this offseason with a plan in mind, right? They entered this summer with a plan in mind. We're going to trade for Anthony Davis, and we're going to put ourselves in the situation where we are going to have a chance at signing Kawhi Leonard, right? And for, I got to say, it's kind of cool getting to cover and getting to root for a team that has that kind of audacity and can actually pull some of this stuff off. You know, that's where I'm sitting. It's as one of the loudest detractors of the Lakers over the last few years.
Right.
It's been interesting to have to look in the mirror and revalue some of these things. Rethink what actually matters. Does the GM who is a genius on the margins, does that matter? Because if you land an Anthony Davis, a LeBron James, a Kawhi Leonard, that gives you a larger margin for error on those margins. So those are the things that I'm really excited about.
I mean, how often do you have the chance to put together a potential dynasty?
Yeah.
Like, even if this goes down, we don't know what the future holds. But damn, if that ain't pretty much the greatest starting point you could start from, right? And this is a once in a decade, and we're blessed to have multiple opportunities as the Lakers, right?
Most fan bases, like, this is a once in a lifetime thing.
Or once in a never ever, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. So this is a once in a, it probably, you know, even 20 years type of thing, even for the Lakers. And you have to shoot this shot. You have to do it. And by all accounts, they've handled every step of the Kawhi recruitment well. The meeting, they knew, you know, Magic was going to say his thing. I think Kawhi's people knew that, you know, the Lakers knew. I don't think that was prohibitive in terms of leaks, but in terms of anything else, there's nothing coming from the Lakers. They seem to have handled this well on the business side of things. Along with that, you know, and that's what the Lakers do well is pitch. This is how we can grow your brand. This is how we can, you know, Brad Turner was talking about Magic's thing was like, hey, you know, I've got all of these other opportunities outside of basketball that I want to continue with. And there's spin in that, like as a reason why he quit. But it's a way of, it's a great pivot of being like, yeah, you know, LA was so great to me that I have so many other things going on that I didn't have time to do. You know what I mean? Like, you turn it into a positive in a way, at the very least. So, like, they have to shoot the shot. And if they fail, like, I'll be so bummed and disappointed, but I won't be angry with the team.
Yeah. No, that's a huge difference there. And look, there's going to be anger, right? There's going to be the anger is going to be, wow, you traded your entire roster for Anthony Davis and he wasn't able to land you Kawhi Leonard, right? Mm-hmm. But that's going to be very it's borderline intellectually dishonest for that to be your, because who wouldn't do that, right?
Sure.
Like, who wouldn't take this chance? And I think, you know, that at the end of the day, you know, me being somebody who harps on process as much as I do, that's going to be what I come back to, is that, you know what, I identify the process, and sometimes good process leads to bad results, just like vice versa happens. Sometimes bad process leads to good results. And in this case, they set themselves up for these meetings with Kawhi. They put themselves in that room. They make a damn good case for themselves by handing over the keys to LeBron and Anthony Davis. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You got to move on and you got to figure out what you're going to do next.
They've done well with what they can control.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's end this on... I honestly don't even know how we can talk about that game between the Lakers and the Heat. Was there anything that you saw that you were okay with what you saw there?
No, I mean, I was watching and being like, we must be good again because our summer league teams freaking suck. I like a little of Zach Norvell. I thought he's a guy. See, so that team doesn't have a point guard, really.
Yeah.
They didn't bring a point guard to Sacramento. I hope they bring one to Vegas. Yeah. I find it very difficult to evaluate guys properly when it's as disorganized as it was. Summer league by its very nature is disorganized. But if you don't have a guy who has like natural run the offense type of instincts, then it's really bad. So I liked some of the things that I saw from him. Beyond that, they don't have any first or second round picks on the team. Yeah. Taylor Horton Tucker is not playing in this, might play in Vegas, maybe not. I mean, it was one eye on the TV, one eye on Twitter. And when I did watch, you know, I liked Norvell, made some nice pick and roll reads, a few nice passes, has a nice jumper. He's a guy that's going to be able to knock down the clean looks that the superstars are able to create, mm-hmm. but not a whole lot to take away. How about you?
Yeah, I didn't see a single player out there who I'd like to watch play next year. here's the thing. You know, we talked about reevaluating values and stuff like that. But in the analysis of a team that we're getting ready to watch potentially, where it's Kawhi, where it's LeBron, where it's Anthony Davis, upside matters significantly less by a lot. Right. So when I watch these guys play, I don't look at, well, you know, if this and this goes right,
right. Maybe what is he in 4 years? Yeah,
yeah. I'm watching. Is there anybody out there who I think can help an NBA roster right now? And I didn't see that. And it shouldn't shock anybody that we didn't see that, because, like you said, there were no high draft picks on this team. There is very little draft capital that was invested into the team that we watched there. It's going to be the case in Vegas. So. The nice thing is, you know, it frees up the occasional evening,
right?
Not having to care about this thing. Go ahead.
It won't be difficult to stay glued to the Kawhi stuff. And even once that's resolved, there's just not a lot on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see though, how they grow and look, what a team is, even a summer league team, what they are on night one of summer league is not what they're going to finish the season as. Like you said, it would be nice to find out. It would be nice to see them add a point guard, somebody who actually thinks like a point guard. And I guess I can offer up a hot take. It's kind of annoying that the Lakers have gone through what they've gone through the last few years with their point guard play, to not have a point guard on this team.
Like, sure.
You guys, the position matters a lot. The mentality that goes into that position matters a lot. So I guess it's not really even a serious takeaway, but it was an annoyance that I hope that they address and they have time to.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. There's a good chance that we have something concrete to talk to you guys about tomorrow. This was always probably going to be the case, as much as I wanted to get ahead of myself and think that something might be happening tonight. Look, to his credit, frankly, I think it's cool that he wants to meet with Toronto and tell them in person either way. I think it's a good character trait to want to look at somebody in the eye and do that kind of thing. Kawhi seems like a good dude. I just, based on what little we know about him now.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I always go back to is his improvement, especially on the ball. Yeah. And I don't want to make, you know, basketball into a character or morality play, but yeah. The amount of time he must have spent to go from what he was, and I liked him when he was at San Diego State. Yeah. I would have laughed in your face if you would have told me he would have become this. Yeah. I would have said, there's no freaking way. So the amount of like dedication reminds me of Kobe, to be honest, like a certain dedication to this is who I am. This is what's important to me. I don't need any outside validation to fuel it. This is something that's internal that I strive to get better at every day. I think that probably shows up in just in how he behaves and how he goes about his business on a broader sense. But that's the thing I always go back to. He's always been either my favorite or top two or three non-Laker in the NBA.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's kind of too bad that none of the – I guess Kuzma's going to still be around so he can learn from that kind of thing as well. But it's kind of too bad that like somebody like Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball, if Kawhi was to be added to this roster, it would have been great to see those guys pay attention, get to watch him up close. Because you're looking at three guys that – Anthony Davis, LeBron James, those guys entered the NBA as superstars, right? Kawhi Leonard did not. And it's kind of cool to be able to that it would have been nice had the young core had an opportunity to see these three guys up close. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, they raised their game somehow despite coming in as superstars. Kawhi Leonard reinvented himself. It would have been nice to see that. And look, hopefully Talen Horton Tucker and Kyle Kuzma, they can watch that and learn from it up close. That's nothing but good things would come of adding Kawhi Leonard. All right. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.